Rams on Radio Kerry's Solid Gold Saturday, 96 to 98 FM, as we bring you a special. We're joined in studio by Steve Travers of the Miami and several other brands, The Crack. And we'll go back to Steve's early days in music as well. And Mr. Johnny Feen of the Horselips. And the two lads are in the kingdom for one particular reason. They wanted to be on Radio Kerry. And another reason, they're playing tonight in Castle Gregory in Ned Natterjack. So if you're in and around that region, give a shout over and you're promised to have an absolutely brilliant night of Irish music at its best, guitar playing at its most supreme. We're gonna take a break. If you do want to give us a shout, we'll give you the numbers once again. And thanks to Brendan who gave us a shout. Also, actually, we want to say a quick hello to Sis Connor who gave us a buzz. And she was recalling days where Johnny Feen had a cup of tea in her house. And he ate all the sandwiches on the rest of the lads as well. she brought up Joe Wynn. Who was with the Horselips at the time. So thanks for that, sis, and thanks for tuning our way, a regular listener to the Solid Gold Weekend programme. We'll take a break and we'll go back to the early days of Steve Travers and Johnny Feen next. Your choice in the kingdom, it's Radio Kerry 96 to 98 FM, Solid Gold Saturday special in studio, Johnny Feen and Steve Travers. Lads, were they the best band of all time?
Definitely.
Yes.
Yes.
It doesn't get any better than the Beatles.
It doesn't, so.
No.
Absolutely.
Simple. Yeah. Right, let's go right back. Steve, when you heard the name Steve Travers, the Miami comes into mind straight out.
Sure.
You weren't with the Miami a long time.
No, about I think about 18 months at most. I spent most of my life in beat groups and rock and pop groups. But In the mid-70s, we were all seduced by the money.
Yeah.
And, in fact, that's what happened when Dickie originally had the Miami with what later became the Sands, but when there was a split. But he recruited new blood, and this would have been in the late 60s.
Late
60s.
Yeah, 69.
There was a fabulous band, Johnny, you'd remember, called The Chosen Few.
Great band, yeah.
And the lead singer was Fran O'Toole, who's a keyboard player and singer. He was huge talent. And Paul Ashford was on bass. And so what Dickie did was very, very clever. They went out and they recruited all the best of the beat groups.
The best of, the musicians in the beat
groups. Yes. And, of course, bands, one thing, Boris and Ollie, you join a band, you think, well, I'll just join this for the few quid.
For 6 months, make some money for,
you buy a car and you get a mortgage and you're stuck.
What was the money like, Steve? Let's talk, what exactly were the likes of the Miami being paid in equivalent to nowadays?
Well, you see, there's, when I joined the Miami in 75, it had totally changed. The halcyon days of the show bands, really, the 60s. Sort of the 60s, and by the time I joined the Miami, it wasn't called the Miami Show Band, really. It was called the Miami. It was a pop group.
Yeah.
And Fran was being groomed, as I said earlier, for international stardom. So it was very much... So we were on, like a lot of the pop groups today, we were on wages.
Yeah.
But during the 60s, the money that was turned over and earned by the show bands was colossal. People like the, say, the Capity and... the Royal,
and
the original.
It was big. It was big money.
Huge money. By today's standards, it would be colossal.
Right.
That was when management and started to get a real grip on the thing. I've got my first cousin's young son is lead singer with a pop group today called the D-Side.
Doing quite very well for themselves.
They are, they've gone off now. I think they were with Blue recently.
Right,
now they're going off to do their tour. But my first cousin's son is the lead singer, Ryan O'Rean. And I think, again, like Louis' band, at the beginning they put on expenses and wages or whatever. Later on, if it takes off, they'll all do really well. But it's just economics, really.
Mm. Yeah.
But getting back to your question, we were on wages, and I didn't intend at all to stay in that band. In fact, Tony Garrity, God rest him, and myself, we had intended, we'll make a few quid here and we head off and form a super band.
Yeah. Yes.
In fact, Tony Garrity, God rest him, and myself, we were we had intended, yeah, we'll make a few quid here and we head off and form a super band.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah, that really, yeah, yeah. I think that was the, like for a lot of musicians who play, I mean, the thing about it was, I mean, you were able to make a pretty good living, you know,
mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, that's, and perhaps you have a wife and a child, so, you know, you have to put, you know,
mm-hmm.
consider that as well, like, so, like, for a lot of musicians who perhaps were struggling in groups, you know, groups weren't really making a lot of money in those days, you know, so you have to look at your options and say, well, I mean, Miami or the capital, or you know what I mean, I can make very good money with you, yeah. Even though you may not intend to stay very long, but for a year or for, you know, for
having said that, John, you Horses really changed everything, they because they were one of the bands, apart from say an early infiltration by a band like the Creatures, who had into the ballroom.
So into the ballroom, yeah, for a short time.
Horses were the ones that really broke into the band.
When you go in there, when you go into the show band scene and the touring, do you lose track of yourself, please?
Well, you might do 30 days on the trot or something like that. I was a bit of a rebel in the show band thing, so far as I never played the same part twice, whereas a lot of the show bands were capable of learning parts. I never really had that ability. I would make it up as I went along. In fact, when I joined the Miami, I met them in Ballybunion, which is not so far from here. I went down to meet them for the first time. They handed me a tape, so we're going on a holiday, learn that, and we see you in Dundalk.
On stage, have you set for the time you get to Dundalk?
And when we went up to Dundalk to play the gig, I mean, I hadn't listened to the tape at all. I just said, well, you start off, I'll play with you, you know. And I was very lucky so far. Fran loved that. He loved the idea of being spontaneous.
Spontaneous, yeah. Yes, yeah.
But most people wouldn't put up with that.
Yeah.
Mm. In fact, when Johnny and I play, there's no set pattern, is there? I mean,
no, there isn't. I mean, there is, you know, each song will have its structure and key, but there is mm-hmm. no absolute, you know, set pattern to it. You know, it can, but you know, it's always different every night. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
I'm great.
I think it's great. Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. Well.
So you're a bunch of blaggers going on.
I put it like this, if Horslips ever reform, well, you'll see Johnny as a member of Horslips, and he'll play in a balanced situation. But if you want to hear Johnny Fiend, the virtuoso, or if you want to hear his tour thing, really come and see this particular
band. Yes, I think
you would never get what you get away with now. You would never ever get away with in a structured band.
That's true. You see, between, like, in a, you know, in a two-man, you know, there is a lot of interplay. That in a band format, there would be other, you know, there would be keyboards, there would be bass, there would be a drummer, perhaps, or a drummer. So
you have to be
you have to be more disciplined.
What we do, we're going to take a break for news, guys. We're going to come back and rejoin this subject.